This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's happening in San Diego? Very happy to be with you. It is finally a Friday. And it's a Friar Friday at that. Gwen and Chris. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Adam Klug, once again, on the ones and twos, filling in for the vacationing Matt Scraby. Happy to have you all with us. Tony, of course, is down at Petco Park, where the Padres will take on the vaunted Colorado Rockies tonight. A team that storms into town, Tony, with a record of 40-70, but somehow still scares the living daylights out of everybody in San Diego who follows the Padres. Of course, the Rockies came to town earlier this year and recorded a remarkable three-game sweep, something that the Padres are going to have to make sure does not happen again. How are you today, sir, down at Petco?
That feeling is partly because the Rockies are 5-2 against the Padres.
Yes, that's
year.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, you can feel a little uneasiness. Different team the Padres are now than they certainly were last time these two locked horns. But I'm doing well, my friend. Back at the ball yard, ready for a three-game set with the Rockies. And yeah, man, some more baseball. Well, not a lot to explain there. It's time to get
time
back to work.
Time
see
to tee
the Padres
up.
And get some wins.
Tee it up again. Padres enter play at 59-51. They are 8 games over .500. That is their high water mark for this season, and further proof that the Padres have turned the page from last year's disappointment, Tony. They enter the month of August, obviously didn't play yesterday, so today will be the first game in August, but they're coming off of a 13-9 record in July, on top of a winning record in June, on top of a winning record in May. So the Padres consistently now have had three consecutive winning months. By way of comparison, last year they never had more than one winning month in a row. So, you know, I think everybody who's a little worried that last year's going to happen, not going to be that way. And I think the Padres have proven that by the way they've stormed out of the gate here to start the second half with a 9 out of 10 victories following that opening loss to the Guards.
It is all about perspective, my friend. And I take you back to everybody freaking out about Mr. Schilt taking an issue with the term roller coaster. Well, here you go. What you just read off? What, 3 straight months? Is that what you said of winning?
Yep. 3 straight winning months.
That he has an argument there.
He has an argument. Even though in the course of those 3 straight winning months, they've had winning streaks and losing streaks, but they finished in the black each time.
Again, the eye of the beholder. I would assume a guy like Mike Schilt is taking the marathon version look, while the rest of everyone else is looking at the sprint
yes.
portion of
and
the
if
race.
And if the Padres lose tonight, there will be panic in the streets of San Diego once again. Austin Gomber starts for the Rockies tonight. I bring this up because
there's going to be a lot of this guy's got especially good numbers right now against the Padres.
Unbelievable. I mean, he's got 2 wins on the season, but he started 2 games against the Padres, allowed 1 run in 11 innings. They haven't even come close to touching him. The Rockies have played 110 games now, Tony. They've only managed to shut out their opponent one time. Yeah. And, of course, that was with Austin Gomber on the mound here at Petco Park against the Padres.
And I think he went 6 shutty.
Yeah, he
time.
Did. And then the Rockies bullpen, which we know is locked down, came in and finished the job for him. So, here's another thing to just make you angry about the Rockies. The Rockies are 5-2 against the Padres. The Rockies are 7-20 against the rest of the National League West. So not only do they seem to hurt the Padres, they don't help the Padres when they're playing any of the other teams in this division.
They just
roll over.
Yeah,
they go to the rollover thing. So anyway, we'll see what happens. Adam put on the sheet here. Is everybody going to be happy with, you know, just taking 2 out of 3 from the Rockies?
Oh, listen.
That's
yes,
Adam.
They better
But I think
happy.
They will be happy with 2 out of 3. I mean, you got to be happy with 2 out of 3 because you keep adding those up and you're going to get where you want to go. So
yeah.
Kevin Acey had an interesting note, and I think it's something that I talked way too much about for the first 2.5 months of the season. In fact, I was doing deep dive statistical analysis about this. But the Padres, for the longest time, could not hit and beat left-handed starting pitching. Remember that? I mean, they went through that, like, a 2-month stretch where they scored, like, 5 runs or, you know, total. And the lefties just beat them time and time again. Well, that has changed dramatically. Last 9 matchups against left-handed starting pitchers, the Padres are now 8-1. So they completely turned that around. And hopefully that's a good sign heading into tonight against a lefty in Austin Gum.
Yeah, no, they've done a better job against lefties. I mean, I think, you know, adding the likes of a hot Manny Machado helps a big time against left-handed pitching. Having someone like Donovan Solano helps against left-handed pitching. Those aren't things that they had the whole time they were facing those lefties during that tough start that they had. Certainly Manny wasn't the version that we've seen of him now a lot early when they saw a ton of those lefties. So it's all starting to even out, and they've done a lot of this good recent work without Toddy, who is another right-handed hitter. So, I expect it, as you like to say, water to find its level. And it seemingly has with as it pertains to the left-handed pitching.
Well, this recent hot streak not only has people thinking about postseason, but it has some people thinking about maybe, perhaps, even catching the Dodgers. I know Fangraphs did a nice piece on that today. And, you know, with all of the analytics that they use, which are far too confusing for me to regurgitate for any of you out there, the answer that they say is yes, the Padres could catch the Dodgers. The Dodgers have a pretty difficult schedule left. They still have some series against some big-time teams. Padres have played a lot of those teams already. And, as we said, the Dodgers are hurting right now. There is no question about that. But the problem really is, Tony, as we can talk about the Dodgers, is that the Padres aren't playing the Dodgers anymore, right?
No, so not until September.
Not till September because of this stupid balanced schedule that they had to put in there. We don't even get a look at them for another month and a half. So
yeah.
Padres really, can't do anything about what the Dodgers do. You know, if they just keep doing what they're doing, they're going to probably make a little run at the Dodgers because I don't see the Dodgers going on a heater here. At least the way they're currently constructed. So
no, not the way they're currently constructed, but they eventually will get healthy, and you can expect a heater shortly then after that. they're not a team I think can do much, especially when they're kicking the ball around. That version of the Dodgers we saw, they actually have to play perfect baseball defensively and some of the other things because they don't have that margin. That margin that the Padres hadn't really had a lot of the season. That's for the first time in as long as I can remember, the Dodgers not having a wide margin for error every time they step on the ball field.
Yeah,
and that I can't remember the last time I've ever been able to say that.
Right, and that can be difficult for them because they're used to having a margin for error.
Yeah, exactly.
They used to be able to handle it if Gavin Lux kicked a couple of balls into the outfield or.
It's certainly a lot easier to go out and play mistake-free baseball when you don't have to worry about playing mistake-free baseball.
Good point.
So now that they have to worry about it, all of a sudden a guy like Gavin Lux who, they moved off of the shortstop position to the second base position because of the throwing issues. Now, with that margin, he's probably thinking about that a little bit more than he normally is at this point.
Well, he doesn't have to worry about making bad throws. He can't pick up the ground ball in the first place. So, but that is the Dodgers' problem. The Padres' issue right now is dealing with the Rockies, and that will start tonight. Gomber again for Colorado. Vasquez pitches tonight for the Padres. He's coming off a rather poor outing his last time, but I think overall Vasquez has been, you know, leaps and bounds better than what we saw earlier in the season. I think there's a, you know, some confidence in him. And, you know, look, if he struggles and can only go four or five innings, well, the Padres have this bullpen fortified now. You know, unless it's a blowout, I would expect Mike Schilt to try to get Tanner Scott into this game tonight, get our first look at him at some point along the way. And, you know, Jason Adam will be ready after a day off, and Suarez has had a couple of days off. So the Padres bullpen is loaded and ready to attack tonight in game one. Now, game two tomorrow night will be the debut of Martin Perez for the Padres. And, you know, we discussed it. I don't think you can give him a long leash. I know that we need some innings eaten up here until Musgrove is back. But I'm going to just say, I'm speaking for the fans here. They're worried that we get another Rich Hill out of Martin Perez. And I don't think they're the same. But Perez is 2-5, and his whip is 1.65. So, you know, I hope that this guy, you know, pitches solid. We can get a few starts out of him. But if he struggles and gets blown up, there'll be more panic in the streets, Tony. That's the way we react around here. So,
I mean, so be it. He needs to be in there to eat up innings.
Yeah.
I don't know what fantasy world everybody's in with this a fifth starter and them wanting to be like an upper echelon type of dude. Again,
it's right. We're expecting seven shutties tomorrow night.
Most of the folks out there can't even name another fifth starter in all of baseball right now.
Yeah,
and there's a reason for that, because they're generally not, you know, top shelf. You know, it's at the bottom of the shelf. You get the little cheaper versions of the. Of liquor down there, right? It still does the same job. Might give you a little headache.
Versions of liquor.
What are we
drinking? Mad Dog 2020 tomorrow night?
Well, that's not that. See, that's below. We're getting better than Mad Dog 2020. That's different.
We're getting better than that. Okay.
But no, I think. Listen, I don't know. You know, the Ridge Hill thing. You know, people being worried about that Martin Perez is him. You know, the Padres weren't the same team having a Rich Hill in their rotation last year offensively. You know, they couldn't afford to have a guy come in and give up 3-4 runs, and you know, that was tough for the Padres to overcome. This is a different offense than that. And I'm certainly not saying that they'll be okay with him going out there and giving up a 5 spot every start out, but
right.
I think everybody has to temper their expectation in terms of what they're going to get out of Martin Perez. It was ugly for Waldron early, right? They stuck with it. He got a little bit better. Padres figured out ways to win. Same thing for Vasquez. It was rough watching him early. But those innings are still important, and the Padres have still won games when those guys have gone out and not been their best. I'm not saying it needs to be like that every start, but, you know, this offense is good enough to help aid in that. You know, kind of transition for Martin Perez.
Well, he'll throw tomorrow night, and then Sunday, if you missed it on Ben and Woods today, Mike Schilt was on, shedding a little light on the status of Michael King, who has not started since last Saturday in Baltimore. Padres still have not named a starting pitcher for Sunday. Said Mike Schilt, do you want to play this, Adam? You have it there? Well, let's hear what he said about King's status with Ben and Woods.
Yeah, it's something I usually announce or we talk about in our media session before the game.
Yeah. So. Okay. Well, I told you he wasn't going to answer that one, but I had to ask it. So there.
It's fair to ask.
Answered. I know people are just kind of curious, and there's a lot of explanations for it. I'm not trying to create a panic.
I don't want any panics either. I mean, effectively, if you really must know, Michael's still dealing with the comebacker, and he's a little sore from the comebacker he took in his last start, and he needs a couple extra days.
There you go. Took a little comebacker in the last start in Baltimore. Needs a couple of extra days. And Tony and I talked about that earlier. And Tony, you made the point correctly. You don't want Michael King going out there, even if he's got a sore leg, because that can alter the way you throw. And you don't want a guy to hurt his arm trying to compensate for something else. So that makes sense.
It's his land leg. So, you know, when he lands, if he's not 100% and he subconsciously tries to land different to, you know, maybe keep some of the discomfort away, that then it's a chain effect. It moves up the body. And so that's probably on their mind as they're giving him a few extra days to kind of deal with the comeback. I had forgot about it because he got hit hard. That ground ball up the middle hit him in his calf or shin on his land leg. And so, you know, it makes sense that they're giving him some time and making sure he's fully, you know, close to being right or not, at least not compensating for it at this point.
All right, so no pitcher yet has been announced for Sunday with that in mind.
He said if you really must
know. Well, hey, the hard-hitting Ben and Woods, they got it out of them, so good job, guys. Coming up on our show today, Friar Friday, interview Jackson Merrill. We are really excited about that. He's going to be joining us any time now here in the next 20, 25 minutes. It could be right when we come back from this break. Might be just a tad later in the hour. Just depends on Jackson's schedule there down at Petco Park. But he will be on the program. We're very excited that you'll get to hear an interview with him coming up shortly. The rest of the stuff follows. Gwynn and Chris until 5:30 or so today, ahead of the Padre pregame show and ahead of Padres Rockies tonight on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseball is a lot of things, but it isn't boring. Join Rob Bradford on his podcast, Baseball Isn't Boring. Every day, Rob takes you through the league and spotlights what makes the game fun. He talks with players, managers, GMs, and reporters, all who shine a light on America's pastime. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or whatever you get your podcasts. Padres back in action tonight. Rockies in town. Mr. Gomber on the mound, who has thrown the ball very well against the Padres this year. The Padres look to kind of give him a different look. Meanwhile, on the Padre front, we've talked a little bit about Vasquez and the kind of the rotation. Johnny Brito is a name that we have kind of forgotten about. Some have may have forgotten about, but he's been down in AAA, and apparently he's back on the mound on Wednesday. Say they think he's still far away from being on a big league mound at this point. But that is another option for him. He allowed four runs while recording just two outs in a 7-6 loss to Oklahoma City in 10 innings. So he's just getting his feet wet again, it sounds like. But he'll be another option that the Padres have. My guess is that come expansion of rosters, which isn't much, couple more spots I think open up, I could see those all being pitchers. I don't know that you need another position player. Padres are pretty loaded up at this point in terms of pitching or in terms of position players. We'll have to see how that goes. We're still a little bit of ways away from that right now.
Yeah, Johnny Brito, 8.44 ERA at Triple A. Of course, that's different, right? El Paso, you're playing in these band boxes and thin air, so sometimes that can be
great
misleading.
Hitting league.
Yeah.
Great hitting league.
It's a good place to improve on the batting average and not help the ERA. But Brito, yeah, he's got a ways to go, apparently. I would think if we get to Sunday, and for whatever reason Michael King, you know, isn't ready, and, you know, Mike Schilt deems that they don't want to take any chances, or Ruben Niebla, they don't want to take any chances with this landing leg, which got hit by the comebacker. Brian Hoying has been an opener twice this year. When he was with Miami. So it's possible that you could do that. It's interesting to me, though, because of all the teams in baseball that have used openers, the Padres are not one of them that I can recall.
No.
The Padres don't seem to like that. Mike Schilt, I don't think, is, you know, into that. But I would think that would almost be a last resort, because I don't know what other options you would have, unless you want to move everybody in your rotation up and pitch them out of turn, and that can create a whole other set of problems. So
yeah,
it'd be interesting to see what they end up doing Sunday. Obviously, they're worried about taking care of tonight and tomorrow before that, but it's our job to worry about such things sometimes.
We'll have a better idea of what'll happen Sunday, later on tonight or tomorrow, for
yeah.
sure. We'll start to kind of peel that onion, I guess you say.
Peel that onion. Wow. You're kind
like
of in
that?
A, yeah, I do. I do. I like that almost as much as Mad Dog 2020. It's about very similar to me. It was interesting, Buster Olney, and I wonder what you think about this, Tony. Buster Olney said in writing about how the Padres will deploy the newly stacked bullpen, he wrote the following: if the matchups are better for the Padres with Suarez working the eighth and Scott going in the ninth, that's how Schilt is expected to play it. Now, I don't know if that's inside knowledge that Buster Olney has, or if he's just
kind of... I don't think that's news. I think that's kind of
we just kind of expected that, because I thought Mike Schilt said that Suarez is still my closer. But having said that, he did use Suarez earlier this year in an eighth inning at Atlanta, and finish with Estrada. So I would think if he's done it before, now that he's got Tanner Scott, I don't think he would hesitate to do it again.
Exactly. I would say that terminology that Buster used is also true flip-flopped, right? If Tanner Scott's matchups are better in the eighth, he'll probably use Tanner Scott, right?
I mean,
I know Robert Suarez has been our closer and has done a terrific job, but as you said, Mike Schilt has not been afraid to, if the righties of that particular team, the best piece of that lineup was coming up in the eighth, he would use Robert Suarez then. And I think it fits both ways. And if Tanner Scott, as there's some lefties coming in that are the heart and soul of that ball club in the eighth, or shoot, even in the seventh, that's the beauty. He's got options at this point.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He can go a number of different ways depending on the momentum of the game, what the feel is in that moment. I don't think that's necessarily anything new. I just think that you'll be able to use either or, depending on what the matchups are.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Tanner Scott, who has yet to pitch here, to me, has already ingratiated himself to the Padres and the organization by making it very clear that even though he has been the closer all year for the Marlins and made the All-Star team, et cetera, and has statistics that are might even be better than Robert Suarez's numbers, which is saying something. But Tanner Scott said the other day when he got here that he doesn't care about what his role is.
You're an all-star closer. Suarez is an all-star closer. How do you see that, you guys working together, and what, how important is a role for you?
Whenever the phone rings, I'm ready. I mean, whatever role it is, it's whenever the phone rings, get your heart going and ready to go.
Is that, I mean, you're a free agent after the year. The market value saves. I mean, is there any thought about that, or is it still whatever?
No, I'm not even thinking about that. I mean, I'd rather win a World Series and not think about that, but I'm ready whenever the phone rings.
That is music to the ears of not only the Padres, Tony, but to the Padre fans who, you know, I don't want to kick Josh Hader around anymore. We know what happened there. What's that?
So don't.
Yeah, that's what I said. I'm going to try to leave him out. But this is what I want to hear from a guy that I require. I mean, this is why nobody wanted to acquire Garrett Crochet, who was very, you know, whether he meant to be or not, very concerned with himself rather than the team. And even if Tanner Scott is concerned about himself, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, "I whatever I got to do." That is the kind of guy I want to acquire and bring in here. And, I'm just happy to hear that attitude. So, and I'm sure Mike Schilt likes it.
I mean, listen, I think that's 99% of the dudes who play this game all have that mindset. This shouldn't be a surprise. This is why it was so jarring for the Hader situation, because it just was a way of thinking that many people weren't familiar with, or weren't very many guys who have that train of thought. So good for Tanner. He's ready to pitch when the phone rings.
Yeah, guess what, Tanner? You might be starting Sunday.
Opener. Here you go.
That's right.
All right, let's get to break, because we don't know when or if. No, I shouldn't say if. When Jackson Merrill will join us. Want to give him some space here. We'll get to break. When we come back, more Gwen and Chris on the other side.
All right, Tony Kornheiser, Michael Wilbon there.
Oh, I thought we were watching a whole episode.
Yeah, I was ready to go home. That was good. Thank you, Adam. That was obviously a little PTI. Michael Wilbon, I'm glad to hear somebody on a national level misspeak sometimes, called him Mookie Wilson. I'm glad I'm not the only one that makes, you know, bonehead mistakes like that. But
me and you both. I was like, yes.
Yeah, somebody else messed up once. Yeah, Michael Wilbon said Mookie Wilson, obviously Mookie Betts. But,
I love those guys.
Yeah, I love those guys too. Of all the talking head back and forth shows and podcasts, that's the one that I really enjoy the most. But yeah, they both like the chance that the Padres have. The one thing that I'll say again, Tony, as we come back, and we're kind of waiting on Jackson Merrill. Hopefully he should be calling soon, but if we have to wait to do that. So while we wait, the one thing that they brought up is, and Michael Wilbon said, is, you know, it's great to have pennant baseball back and two rival teams and a chance to, you know, battle it out. Yes, but guess how much better it would be if they actually played each other some the rest of the season. You know, I don't want to get you started, because I know that's your pet peeve. But, you know, Kornheiser said, yeah, they got three games left the final week of the season, but that's it. That's all they have left.
They should have at least they should have at least six more games.
At least six.
So. But we are back into, you know, the old balanced schedule thing.
Balanced schedule. Got to play the Mariners 19 times every year. Yeah, you know.
I did take issue with one thing my man Wilbon said. Baseball is certainly not basketball. It's a much harder championship to win in baseball, which is why you don't have very many repeat offenders hoisting the championship as you do in the NBA. He was making the point that the Padres are trading prospects
like the Lakers did
to win the bubble championship in 2020. Different deal here, you know.
Yeah, basketball, you only need one or two guys to win a championship. Baseball, you need 26, I believe it is, and usually a lot more than that. So, but, you know, look, as Adam pointed out, he and I were talking before the segment, a lot of our fans out there, a lot of Padre fans out there in general, don't think the national media even knows that the Padres exist. So it's nice to know that, you know, at least somebody in the national media definitely knows they exist. And
I think that is kind of like, it's kind of like old San Diego thinking, because when you think about it, Padres have been my dad played for that version of the Padres that you're talking about.
Right.
And they never were talked about on ESPN, SportsCenter, any of if they had MLB Network, it would have been like the last game that they showed on Quick Pitch, right? Now, I mean, at least as long as I've been working here, not that long, maybe since 2020, and we talked about this a little bit during the roundtable, we Padres are covered more than I can ever remember being covered. Now, maybe on a national standpoint, they might not get talked about as much, but listen, we're playing far more national games than I think we've ever played.
Oh, by a long shot.
Here in San Diego. So
for sure.
It may not be perfect, but, you know, that has a lot to do with winning. when your organization is winning and competitive, they generally will talk about you. But if they're not, you're going to get left behind.
Yeah, and no matter how much the Padres win, we need to understand, don't necessarily have to like it, but we need to understand that no matter how much the Padres win, they're never going to get the attention of the Dodgers or the Yankees or the Mets or Red Sox and, you know, many others that are just, you know, more baseball staples than the Padres. I mean, look at it this way. The Giants won 3 World Series in 5 years, you know, not that long ago. I still don't think the Giants get the same attention as the Dodgers do. You know, even though they did that.
They don't. So. They're not. I mean, this is where media market part matters, right? San Diego may be one of the most populous cities in the country, but in terms of media market, it's not there. And so that also aids in the type of coverage that you're getting. And you're right. The Giants have been technically a better team over, from 2010 to 2020.
Yeah,
but it felt like we were talking about the Dodgers a lot more, and that's also because of the media and, as you said, baseball staples.
Exactly. All right, Jackson Merrill did tweet out that he'd be with us at 2:40. So if you're tuned in,
Jackson Merrill tweeted that out?
No, I tweeted that out.
Oh.
I tweeted that out. Hey, you'd be proud of me, Tony, that I knew how to do that all by myself. But I put it out there. So if you're tuned in and you're like, okay, where's Jackson Merrill? Look, Padres are going to snag him as soon as he's available, and we'll have him on the show here shortly. In the meantime, you know, it's where are you on the scoreboard, Tony? I think I know what your answer is because I've been around you long enough. You know, checking out the out-of-town scores. Like Cardinals lost today to the Cubs, which way too early. But I just have fun with the scoreboard. Like, I like looking at it every day
and having
games that matter. So.
Yeah, that's different. If you're looking at it because you enjoy looking at the standings, have at it. My advice for those who are looking at it because they want to make sure the Padres aren't falling too far or pushing their lead, it's not the most joyous way to participate in a marathon like this. I won't be looking at the standings, like scoreboard watching for real until we get to September.
All right, well, I'll do it for you. The Braves are still on top in the wild card race. Padres are just a game behind them. And then the Diamondbacks have the third wild card spot, and the Mets are the team right now. The Padres are one game up on the Mets.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Here on August 2nd. You see the 3 that are there right now: Braves, Padres, Diamondbacks.
Yeah,
you got 3 NL West teams right now in if the playoffs end today.
Yeah,
do you think it finishes that way wild card wise?
I think the least likely of the 3 at the moment, the one that's teetering the most, is the Braves, which is crazy.
What do you think it will end?
It'll end like this?
Maybe not like this. Do you think these 3 teams are in?
Do I think these are the 3 that'll be in?
Yes.
And I'll say yes. How do you like that?
I'll say yes.
The Mets are only a half game behind the Diamondbacks.
I think the Mets are in trouble. Me and Jesse were just talking about, let's put the injuries aside because they got some tough ones they got to deal with. Their travel here. They go from Anaheim to a one-game makeup in St. Louis, and then off to Seattle. I messed that up. Let me go again. Anaheim, St. Louis for a makeup, Colorado, Seattle. So that's a four-stop trip that you're about to run into. Hopefully, you know, let's see, Colorado, it's, you know, it's August. You never know what the weather. You could get a rain out there. Who knows? But that's a lot of travel. This is an East Coast team. I'm coming to the West Coast. And I think the Senga injury is – that's a big one.
Senga?
Yeah.
They picked up Blackburn. He'll start tonight for the Mets as they try to fill that spot. When you look at the Padres' schedule, Tony, the rest of the way, and I know you probably look at the schedule more than you look at it, a lot of other things because that's where you have to go and have to be. You know, we got this little home series this weekend. Then after that, Pittsburgh, Miami, Pittsburgh, Colorado. They'll be in Miami and they'll be in Colorado. But next, later in the month, Minnesota comes in for three and the Mets come in for four.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, going to be obviously going to be a very important series. You still got to go to St. Louis. Still got to go to Tampa Bay. The September schedule seems a bit favorable to me.
I don't know.
No? I mean, I
think it's a toss-up, right? Because Detroit, despite their moves, I mean, they're playing better baseball than I think a lot of people expected.
Okay.
And that's one of those teams of September that, you know, might be kind of dangerous.
Might cause some problems. Scooble might pitch in that series.
You got San Francisco.
Right. That's, then we got it. We got to finish up the Vetter Cup in Seattle. God!
Finish up the Vetter Cup. Then you come back, or then you go to San Francisco.
Right.
Then you got Houston at home. That'll be a tough series.
Yeah, it will be.
The last week of the season for the Padres is no joke, because by that time you'll assume that the Dodgers will be healthy, at least closer to healthy, by September 24th. The Padres are rolling for the Dodgers for three, and they finish with the Diamondbacks for three.
Yeah, on the road. They finish everything on the road.
If things are going to be like they are right now to the end, that week is going to be incredibly crucial.
Yeah, the final six games will be at Dodgers, at Arizona. And right now, those are all three playoff teams. So we'll see how it all works out. But that's down the road for the San Diego Padres. Tonight, the focus is the Colorado Rockies. Again, Tony, I watched something last night, and I don't watch this in this way very often. I'm changing gears a little bit here, but I don't know if you saw it. You had a night off, so maybe you caught a little of the Olympics last night. I don't usually watch because I always know the results. But I did know the results. I still wanted to see Simone Biles perform. And she point, even though I already knew she won the gold medal.
Yeah.
She jumped out of the gym. She knocked it out of the park. I mean, I'm not certainly not qualified to be a gymnastics judge, but just by watching, even if you don't know what you're looking for, you know that she just looks twice as good as all the other gymnasts. I mean, she's just incredible. And you know, I don't know where she ranks on the all-time great athletes, but to come back, you know, 4 years, win the gold medal, then 4 years later have this awful, you know, condition where she can't even find where she is in the air and all of the mental, you know, breakdown stuff that went along with that and all of the criticism that she was heaped upon her for being on the Olympic team and not competing. She had to be at the lowest low at that point. You know, imagine a baseball player like all of a sudden not being able to hit a pitch. You know, I mean, that's what it was for her and her sport. And then to come all the way back around 4 years later and again be on top of the whole thing, that's impressive. And I really enjoyed watching that last night. I got to say. She was
something. Watch her last night. I watched one of the earlier events with my two daughters. And, yeah, I don't know anything about being a gymnast, what it's supposed to look like, but I just know that hers looks different than everybody else's.
That's right. That's
about what I can tell you. I just think it's amazing what all of them do. I mean, even Sunny Lee. I mean, because she won the gold medal the year that you're talking about, or the Olympics you're talking about.
That's right, yeah.
When Simone Biles couldn't participate, she got a bronze, and she's been dealing with her own kidney issues throughout this thing. So
yeah, she had kind of life-threatening kidney issues, and then she comes back, she gets a medal. It was fun to watch, I have to say, last night. I really enjoyed that competition. Simone Biles, you know, one of the great athletes ever, and maybe maybe the best gymnast ever. That's saying a lot because there's been a lot of gymnasts out there, but man, she
is
something.
Starting to get into the track stuff.
I know it starts tonight, Tony. You got to, you know, can you record on the YouTube channel?
Yes, you can.
Do you ever record? Do you ever watch anything on record?
I tell you what, I do record, and it goes into this library, and it doesn't. I don't know. I'm just being old and picky on this.
Okay.
You know, usually in my DirecTV, you record something, it goes into the DVR section, and it's easy. Boom, you just go to it. This is like a library, and then it's just confusing sometimes. Either way, I can record. I will record so I can keep up with track and field for sure.
All right, that does finally get underway tonight. Waiting on Padre lineup, and guess what? There it is. So can give you that for tonight's game. I think there's some people wondering, will Cronenworth be in there against the left-handed starter? Answer, yes, he will. Profar is going to lead off tonight.
Well, Luis gets a day.
So it's Arise who gets the day off. Solana will be DHing, batting second. And then Bogarts, Machado, Cronenworth, Ha-Sung Kim, Jackson Merrill, Kyle Higashioka, and Bryce Johnson will bat ninth against the lefty. They always go with Bryce Johnson against the lefty. What have you heard about Fernando, if anything, Tony?
Heard nothing.
Yeah,
I know that he has been
much.
I know he has been swinging. He's been hitting. I think he's turning the dial up on that a little bit. Hasn't yet to been on the field, at least from the time we've been here.
Right.
He has been back in the building, which I don't know that I could say. Or I've seen him outside, like on the field, a few times this homestand. So. I imagine we're moving closer. What that timeline is, I don't know.
Yeah. But you imagine, I mean, we were talking about this the other day. I mean, with all respects to Bryce Johnson, think about what this lineup looks like different from just tonight's lineup if Fernando's right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been good lately. Should get better. All right, stick around. Jackson Merrill is scheduled. I know the Padres are efforting to track him down. He's busy getting ready for the game tonight, but is supposed to be joining us, so it could be any time. Stick around for that. More Gwen and Chris on the way.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.